This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Race Your Game. It's our Speaking Right series again with the lovely Mariana Pascal. And she helps Asians to communicate effectively in English. She's trained university students and corporate clients. She's been living in Malaysia since 1995. And she conducts training in areas such as business grammar, business writing and workplace communications. She's the author of 4 best-selling books. Some of the books include Say It Better in English, English Fast and Easy 1, 2 and 3, and over 50,000 copies of books have been sold in Malaysia and Singapore. And some of you would know her from her video, her Manglish video that's gone viral on YouTube. And so in our Speaking Right series, last week we talked about the 6 pitfalls of spoken communication. This week we're covering 5 pitfalls of written communication. So do you just want to do a very quick recap of what we talked about last week?
Yeah, sure. Last week we were talking about how generally spoken communication, the one key of spoken communication is really think from the point of view of the listener. The information that you're giving is only as important as what your listener can absorb. So at all times be aware of the listener's train of thought and train of emotion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a thought going on in the head. All right. Train of thought and...
Would you like me to go through just quickly?
Yes, sure. Yep.
Okay. So the curse of knowledge is when the speaker assumes that the listener knows as much about the thing he's speaking about as mm-hmm. he does. And often the listener does not know. So when you're speaking, always burp.
Okay.
Back up. Reflect on what the listener knows, what his knowledge level of the topic is, and then proceed. B-U-R-P.
Ah, okay.
The second pitfall was illogical sequencing, and this is when the speaker puts his ideas forward in a confusing order or an order that's upsetting to the listener.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're giving information, for example, give reasons before you give bad news.
Okay.
Don't give the news before the reason.
Right.
And give explanations before you give instructions. Don't give an instruction and then explain why they need to do it. Those were 2 examples.
Mm-hmm.
The third one was this fear of follow-up. When I say that, I mean people often, particularly with strangers, have a discomfort in making the conversation move forward by following up what's been said with more questions or more comments. And the key to making a conversation grow is to be very, very curious about the person you're talking to. Ask questions, and not yes-no questions where you're going to get a yes-no answer, but ask rich questions. What did you like best about this? What do you think is the difference between this and that? What would you do in this situation? Or I've always wondered about this.
Mm.
So be curious and ask WH and how questions.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth pitfall of spoken communication was this addiction with being abstract, using vague words that don't have a specific visual image that goes with them. Words like develop and cutting edge and words that don't really have a solid specific meaning. So whenever you're speaking about anything, ask whether the information you're giving has a visual image that the reader can grip onto. And if it doesn't, turn it around into something that they can visualize. The fifth pitfall of spoken communication was the lack of clarification. And this is a problem when the speaker and the listener do not check for understanding. And this is very, very, very common, and we need to realize both people need to do it. The listener needs to feel confident interjecting and saying, look, I want to make absolutely sure I know what I'm doing, so may I ask you a question? And the speaker needs to give the listener permission by saying, please stop me at any time and ask questions, or saying things like, what are your questions,
mm-hmm.
instead of, do you have any questions?
Right.
And the last thing was the girly tone. mm-hmm. when people speak mm-hmm. and they go up at the end of their sentences mm-hmm. and they're explaining something quite complicated, but it still makes them sound like they're not very sure of themselves.
Right.
So make sure that statements, sentences, go down at the end.
Right. And today, the five pitfalls of written communication, the first one is formal and old-fashioned language, and I think this is very much still a case in Malaysia.
Oh, yeah. The irony is that Malaysians sort of asked the British to leave, but they said, we'll keep your really old-fashioned language and we'll keep using it for hundreds of years after you've left. So for some reason here, specifically in this part of the world, there's still a great respect for this really old-fashioned formal style of writing. Long words, for example.
Mm.
We don't need to... Look, here's the fact, Frida. Most clients that I work with now are reading 1 to 200 emails a day.
Mm-hmm.
This is not uncommon anymore. 1 to 200 emails, because people are CCing everything, right? So even if you're writing 20, you're having 100 to read. So we need to write in a way that lets the reader read quickly and efficiently. So long, old-fashioned words like commence need to be replaced with shorter, plain words like start.
Yeah.
Assistance should be replaced with help.
Help.
Utilize can usually be replaced with use.
Mm.
So short words, but there's a lot of old-fashioned language in sentence structure, too.
Mm.
How many times have you written or read, please do not hesitate to contact me should you require any further clarification? Do you hate it?
Yeah.
Don't we all hate it? And yet we still do it because we don't want to be rude.
Mm-hmm.
But really, saying something like, if you have any questions, please contact me, is polite. When we receive that, we feel more cared about. We feel that someone's actually speaking to us.
Right.
So let's get rid of these old-fashioned, please be informed that, kindly be reminded that, I would like to bring to your attention that. For one thing, with this old-fashioned language, it usually comes at the beginning of sentences, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of those polite formalities come at the beginning. But if you think about which part of a sentence in our email we understand the least, where does our comprehension go down? It's the middle of a sentence,
mm-hmm.
right? When you have a long sentence, in the middle, we get lost. Now, if you put all that fancy pants language like, you know, I would like to bring to your attention that at the beginning of the sentence, the key part of your message is in the middle and gets buried. So cut all that old-fashioned language. Let it go.
All right. And the next one is a bad tone. And I guess, you know, sometimes that can come across an email.
Oh, so much so. And the funny thing is that here's some interesting facts. From my experience, most people that I've spoken to think that the tone of their writing is good. Most people that I speak to receive writing that they say has a rude or a cold or an uncaring tone. So if you do the math, it means that most people are not realizing that their tone is sounding harsh or rude or cold or uncaring. They don't notice it. They don't realize it because they may be writing with good intentions, but the way it's coming across can be completely different because we don't have all the body language and the pauses and the expression. So I'll give you a couple examples of that. Here's an email that I received last week for someone. I had requested a phone call with someone,
mm-hmm.
and they wrote back and said, phone calls can lead to miscommunication. Please email me, and I'll answer your questions.
Serious?
Now, how does this sound to you, Frida?
Hmm.
Would you feel a little bit sort of miffed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, he's telling me he doesn't want to speak to me.
Yeah.
But I think he had, you know, his point makes good sense. But he could have said it in another way. He could have said, I want to make sure that I answer your questions correctly, so could you please email me? Because phone calls can sometimes lead to misunderstanding. You know, right away, that change in tone would have made all the difference.
Right.
And he probably didn't realize at all how his tone came across.
Hmm.
Sometimes our tone can just be negative, and we don't realize that.
Okay.
And here's an interesting true story. This insurance agent said to me one day, he said, "Don't you remember we corresponded by email about 10 years ago? I sent you an email and you never wrote back." And I thought, really? That's strange. Mm-hmm. Let me go check. So I went back into my inbox and I looked back. I had been looking for an insurance agent at that time. And I looked back at the two letters I'd received. One of them I replied to, and this gentleman I didn't reply to. And here's the difference in their email. The one that I replied to wrote, "As you are under 40, you are entitled to pay a premium of blah, blah, blah ringgit per year." Mm-hmm. Now, this gentleman, who I didn't reply to, had written, "As you are over 35, you will need to pay an annual premium of blah, blah, blah." It was the same amount, right? But just because of that sort of negative tone, it sounded like a bad deal, and I never wrote back. Now, there's a couple of phrases that people say sometimes that they don't realize come across as a bit harsh. One of them is saying to somebody, "Please take this seriously," for example. This is something I heard in a workshop last week. You know, language like this. If you say to somebody, "Please take this seriously," they're hearing, "You don't think I take this seriously."
Mm.
So one way of avoiding that is to say, "Thank you for taking this seriously."
Mm-hmm.
You get the point across, but you don't make them feel like you're not trusting them to do it.
All right. We'll go through the other pitfalls of written communication in just a moment. We've just only gone through two. I'm looking forward to the rest.
Okay.
I'm here with Mariana Pascal in Race Your Game, BFM 89.9. This is Race Your Game on Enterprise. Good morning. This is our Speaking Right series. Mariana Pascal is with us. We're going through the five pitfalls of written communication. There's a lot of interesting stories here. We went through formal and old-fashioned language a little earlier, and then the bad tone, which can come across on email. And the third one now is the lack of scannability.
Yes, that's right. Well, you know, a lot of studies have been done on how we read emails, how we read online. And one of the studies shows that our eye movement no longer goes from left to right. Our eye movement when we read something initially goes from top to bottom because we're used to smartphone reading, mm-hmm. you know, in that format. So this means that when you're sending people emails, you want to write it in a way that they can first scan down your email vertically from top to bottom. To do that, we need to think about layout particularly. If you look at most stuff that you read on a smartphone, it's designed for you to scan. That means it's designed for you to get a gist first, right? You can read down, get a gist, and then go mm-hmm. back and get the details.
True.
And we often don't do that. And you know what? I liken it to like a cinema poster. You know when you mm-hmm. go to the cinema and you see a poster before you walk into the cinema, and the poster has a picture of the movie you're going to see. And we love that because we know what to expect when we get into the cinema. We have an idea of what's coming, and we need to give our readers an idea of what's coming. We've already said people are reading 100, 200 emails a day. So let them be able to scan and see, do I need this information? Is it for my action? Is it for my information? So first of all, the ways of doing that are short paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to let your paragraph in an email extend beyond 3 lines maximum.
Mm-hmm.
Then give white space and space before the next paragraph. Use headings. Headings are great. It really lets us read from top to bottom and get a gist of the whole thing. Headings like, you know, if you're talking about the status of a project, maybe what we've done, what we're doing, what's not yet done, you know? So these kinds of things let the reader understand before he reads the basics of what the contents are.
Right, which sort of leads to the next pitfall, which is paragraphs.
Yes, exactly. Paragraphs. You know, when we went to school, right, if we wrote nice, big, thick, heavy paragraphs, really long ones, the teachers gave us great marks. But, you know, paragraphs, I think, are really on the way out. Part of this is because of this reading vertically now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? We can really put things into bullet-pointed or numbered lists so much more. When I ask participants in my corporate workshops, what would you rather read, a paragraph or a list? You know, 100% of the time they say list.
Yeah.
But they don't often write things in list form. They write it in paragraph form. Now, I'd like to ask you, if I may, I'd like to read an email.
Okay.
And I'm going to read it really quickly.
Okay.
This is a real email that somebody wrote. And I'd like you to, as I'm reading it, just think about how you might put it into list form instead of paragraph form. May I do that?
Okay. This is homework. Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Now, this was written by a college admin clerk who was writing to an ex-student who had requested his student records.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote, "There will be administrative charge of 30 ringgit for the first set of documents, and an additional set will be 5 ringgit each. Postage will be charged separately. Please let me know if you prefer normal, registered, or courier so that I can advise you of the cost. Our company is FedEx. Please provide the address. Payment can be in cash or check. Please make check payable to blah, 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 blah. I won't go on."
Right.
But can you see right away that there are certain that could be listed?
Yeah.
We could have, first of all, we could have the charges, and we could have a list of the charges, payment options, delivery options. So we want to bullet point everything we can, and people don't realize even 2 items can make up a list, and it's much easier to read. If you're giving somebody 2 options, instead of saying, well, we can blah-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, or blah-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you can say, here are our 2 options.
Mm.
Boom, boom. Okay, first bullet point, second bullet point. It's so easy for the eye to read quickly, which is what we need today.
Okay, the final one, generalizing.
Yeah, generalizing. Well, I find this to be a huge problem with all kinds of emails in the workplace, and this is when people are not specific about what the reader needs to know and what they want the reader to do. Sort of like we like to assume that, oh, the reader, he will know that.
Mm.
I can imply it and he'll know. Well, you know what? Readers are not mind readers and they don't know. You know, some kinds of, here's a common example. This is one, this is a real example, but it's sort of indicative of a lot of this problem. This was somebody working from an oil company, and they receive manpower from another company, and they wrote a complaint, a letter of complaint about the manpower, about the staff that they were getting. They said some of them do not follow procedures such as arriving late, not wearing proper safety equipment, and smoking in the toilets. Please make sure they follow company procedure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you write something like that, the person who receives that email is going to go on and write to the manpower that they're going to be supplying to this oil company an email like this. Please make sure you follow company procedures when you work at this company. The person reading the email doesn't really know specifically what part of the procedure am I not following.
Mm-hmm.
So the instructions need to be very, very clear, and you need to stick to specifics, not say things like, you know, they do not follow procedures such as, because that means there are lots of procedures they're not following, and here are a few examples. So it would have been much better to write, some of your staff are not following these procedures.
Right.
A, arriving late. B, not wearing safety equipment. C, smoking in the toilets. Please make sure that they arrive at 8:30, are always wearing their safety boots and helmet, and smoke only in the lobby, you know?
Mm.
Clear, specific instructions. So generalizing, I think people, you know, I think people do it because they don't want to be rude and, and often, would you agree with that? In Malaysia, direct instructions and specifics appear, people think it sounds rude.
Right, or confrontational.
Confrontational, yes, which it doesn't often to the listener.
Mm-hmm.
It's listeners and readers want to know specifics. They want to tell me what you want.
Hmm. All right. The 5 pitfalls of written communication. And Mariana Pascal will be back next week for more gems. This is Racy Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.